Now, on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello to you. Welcome. Thank you for listening in again. And I don't know where you are in the world out there, but as I am in Belgium, you know that by now, it is absolutely freezing here today. It should be a beautiful summer day. And here I am with a jersey. It's about 19 degrees out there, cloudy, gray, and a lot of wind, typical Belgium weather. But that is why it's maybe a beautiful day to actually do this radio show, to do these interviews, to inspire you, because wherever you are, if you are, whether it's in your kitchen, in your car, listening to this beautiful platform, UK Health Radio, to this amazing health platform, one of the biggest in the world, I am always so honored to do this. What I do is what I love. What I love is what I do. And here I am today speaking to you about a different kind of subject, a little bit of a deeper kind of subject, in that way that I'm going to talk to Charles Atfield. Now, Charles Atfield was a high school teacher for most of his career, and he's originally from the UK, but he moved to Australia in the 80s. And his interest in meditation and Eastern philosophy grew really rapidly after a lot of visits to India. And I am really curious to talk to him about his latest book, Self-Awareness and Meditation, it's called. And well, we know that what awareness is. We know a little bit about meditation, but I do believe that this conversation might be a bit deeper. So in addition to Charles' teaching qualifications, he has qualifications in esoteric psychology, astrology, counseling, and as I said, he lives in Western Australia. So I'm going to talk to him just now, and it's a totally different time zone, of course. So, but we got to, you know, we will get together and have this beautiful conversation to inspire you, to maybe even give you a few tips on self-awareness and meditation. And maybe it will be a bit of a deeper conversation, but let's be honest. We need sometimes to go a little bit deeper in who we really are and about the self and about our daily practices and how to become more and more the soul that we are. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. So I will have a little break just now. But what I also wanted to say to you is, if you want to share this radio show, I would really appreciate it, because it is so important that more and more people are aware of UK Health Radio and our health platform, are aware of taking your health into your own hands seriously, getting to know a little bit more about all the different health aspects, the mental, the emotional, the physical, everything. There is so much that we can do for ourselves. Of course, when we have really bad diseases, serious diseases, chronic diseases, I'm not saying that you don't need to go to the doctor, that you don't need to follow the prescriptions, that you don't need to, you know, to appreciate that our medical system is out there. But there's also a lot of knowledge and a lot of prevention that you can do. So I really want to inspire you to listen in every show that I do to the tips, the insights, and the inspiration that I give you, to do that self-care practice, that conscious self-care practice can really save your life. If I had known 30 years ago what I know now about self-care, self-love, worthiness, about how you can daily practice your own body management, how you can manage your body, your spirit, your soul on your own in your daily practice, I would never have gotten sick. So that is why I'm doing what I do, and I do what I love, and I love what I do. So I'm going to have a little break, and then I'll talk to Charles Atfield about self-awareness and
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, and as I said in the introduction, I am so honored and absolutely excited to talk to my guest Charles Atfield. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me to your show.
I'm actually really, really curious because, let's say you and I, we are in the same age category, and I always find it very interesting to ask people, what has been leading you to who you are today? What have you been doing in your life that today you are this author of an amazing book called Self-Awareness and Meditation? Explain us a little bit your journey.
Well, I think it's something that's been with me all my life. In fact, I often look at it as my spiritual autobiography. So, I mean, obviously, usually one has an autobiography, but this would cover a particular aspect of who I am. And it doesn't necessarily relate to relatives and friends around me, but it's something that's been with me ever since I was young. I grew up in the Church of England. I grew up in England, actually.
Yes.
And then I became fascinated in the Rosicrucians, the American version of the Rosicrucians. I moved, and then at the age of 32, I moved to Australia. And I think that's when things really started to pick up, because just after moving here, I found out about a guru in India called Satya Sai Baba.
Mm-hmm.
And I read all I could about him and went to see him four times. And that really shifted the direction of my understanding of what spirituality is.
Wow.
So that really, I'd say the India bit was the start of this particular chapter, shall we say. And then in around 2000, so I would have been about, 45 at that time, I came across another guru, shall we say, who had an ashram in Australia, a main ashram in the USA, but he also came over to one in Australia. And I came across this Master Charles Cannon. His name is Charles Cannon, but people called him Master Charles Cannon because he was an authentic spiritual master. And so that really got me deeper into meditation, because that was his focus. And then really for the last 7 years of his life, he died about 4.5 years ago, I took on personal mentoring with him. So every month I'd call him on the phone and we'd chat for up to an hour and a half on everything to do with my life, whether it was diet, health, right through to meditation, dreams, and so on. And that was extremely significant
Wow.
for me, because I learned so much. And actually a significant part of the book is based on those conversations with him. You know, the mechanics of consciousness, the meditation pointers, and the understanding dreams.
Wow.
And in fact, in the chapter, well, it's all based on my own experience, because it's his explanation to me of what was happening. I mean, he might give some idea of where it goes, but basically those three chapters, or the meditation and the dream chapters, are very much personal to me. And in fact, every dream in the dream chapter is a dream that I've had and that he has interpreted for me, although he taught me how to interpret them for myself.
Okay.
So, you know, that part of the book is very practical, and I think that's important. The first part of the book, actually I'm getting onto the book now rather than my biography, but anyway, the first part of the book is very psychological, because that's my education other than teaching. I learned counseling, I learned psychology, I did transpersonal psychology. So I felt that was important as well to understand that when you want to understand what's happening in meditation. So the first part of the book is all about the psychology. That's the middle part is all about my experiences and discussions with a authentic master, and then it moves on from there.
Can I ask you, because most people go onto their spiritual path after a crisis. When I hear you say your story, am I understanding well that your spirituality has been something like in every one of us, of course, been inside of you? But was there a trigger? Was there a crisis? Was there something happening in your life that you focused more on it than before?
Not a crisis as such, but I think coincidences kind of led to a certain direction. For example, I went to a barbecue with a group of people. I didn't know them that well, but I went to the barbecue, and for some reason, the guy whose barbecue it was came up to me and said, "Oh, you must meet Bass. This is an Indian guy. He will tell you all about Sai Baba." And I'm thinking, why do I want to know about some guy called Sai Baba? So then he takes me over to Bass and says to Bass, "Oh, this is Charles. He wants to know all about Sai Baba." And I went, okay. So anyway, he told me about him. And I thought, no, I think this is, I don't know that I believe this. It's a bit out there. So I said, always believed I had an open mind. So I said to him, "Look, you lend me a book on Sai Baba and I'll read it." And that was it. Started
Wow.
it. But there's that kind of thing that pointed me
Yes.
in that direction.
It's synchronicity, they call it.
Synchronicity.
Oh, that's nice to, to hear. But I've read your, I had a few info things when you sent me the mail and everything with information on your book and on who you are. And there's one thing that really intrigued me because, I've been practicing meditation for a long time. I'm a meditation coach, et cetera, trained by Deepak Chopra. But what I wanted to ask you, and I really am intrigued that you say that meditation is just not something that you do, but it reflects who you really are. Can you explain a little bit in an easy way for us to understand what you
I'll
mean
try.
with that?
Well, we
Because
always
is it
look at
alignment with our soul? Is that what it's all about?
basically, we always think that we have to do things. We're not going to get spiritual if we don't do this meditation. But I think one of the essences in the book is that it's a bit of a trick of the ego in that are we really doing anything? It's more universal consciousness is doing it, and we're the tool through which it happens. And it's a trick of the ego to think that it is doing it. So one thing that I was taught, for example, you might have a particular experience that comes about in meditation, and you think, "Oh, that's because I did all this particular chanting of mantras and that." But you could turn it around and say it was universal consciousness or your soul was prompting you to do those mantras so that you would get that particular experience. And the more you become, I don't like to say the more you become spiritual, but the more you evolve on the spiritual path, the more you take on a state of being until meditation is no longer what you do for that half an hour in the morning or an hour in the morning or evening or whatever. It becomes who you are. It's your state of being. And someone who's really enlightened is living meditation 24 hours a day. So really, meditation is you connecting with who you really are. And that's really what I mean when I say it reflects who you are. Reflection's not the best word. I actually was thinking of that today with my meditation group, but it's not the best word, but I think it covers it well in a kind of simple sentence.
Okay. Now,
You
is it
become
also,
more.
I just have an extra question on that because we live in a society where we are overdoing, doing, 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 doing in overdrive and overwhelm. And so is that a little bit the challenge of going more into the being than into the doing for most of us?
It's more accepting who you are. I mean, you could say you're doing, but then you're being prompted to do. Things won't happen unless you do it. It's changing that perspective to who is really the doer. The doer is your soul, shall we say, prompting you along a certain path so that you can align better with it. The ego really thinks it's the doer and it's achieved all these things because the ego likes to think it's important and achieve things and gather things and so on. But really, it's coming from a higher level. I did see a quote once and it really makes you think. And it was from another Sai Baba, the Shirdi Sai Baba. And he said, there is only one will, and that's God's. And that really takes. We think we have free will, and from one perspective, we do. But if we're all one with God, shall we say, then really there's only one person doing anything. Does that make sense? Or is
Well,
that
yeah, well, you know, it's
Yeah.
we all have our own journey, and for some
Yeah.
people will understand what they want to understand and can understand when we talk like
Yeah.
this, and other
Yeah.
people, you know. So I just want to say to you, what is self-awareness to you? Because that's what you put in the title of your book, Self-Awareness and Meditation. So is meditation a way to become more self-aware? Is self-awareness something completely different? What is self-awareness to you then?
Well, I made it quite clear in that near the start of the book that I'm talking about in self-awareness, I'm talking about a self with a capital S
Yes,
because it
the
can get
self with a
confusing.
capital S, yes.
The self with a little S is your personal self, your egoic self. So when I say self-awareness, it's gaining an awareness of that spiritual aspect within you. That's
Okay.
the self that I'm referring to.
Okay. And
Yeah.
so awareness of the self with a capital S, what is the journey for that? Well, how do we become self-aware with a capital S?
I think it's a process that comes about at the right time. And I suppose you could, if you look at what I talk about in the book, is that you have an involutionary cycle and an evolutionary cycle. Now, they talk in religious texts about the Garden of Eden and the fall of man. Well, I see that as for some reason, and it was meant to be, we've taken over these human bodies and taken on a human awareness. And we get more and more trapped in the physical world. We want more and more power. We want more and more possession. So we're becoming more and more world realized.
Yes.
And that's all meant to be. But there comes a point when you have a kind of awakening and you may be aware of it or not. And you realize there's got to be something more. And that's when you start on the evolutionary cycle or the spiritual path. And it's as you move along that path, you grow in awareness, you decide you want to meditate more, you have more in the way of spiritual experience. And it's this path to what some people call enlightenment or back to your original self. So you've come from that spiritual state, got immersed in matter, and now you're returning back to that spiritual self with whatever you needed to gain from being here in the first place. That's kind of how I see it. And
Yeah, because your book is the is like a return journey back to the self. That's how you describe it. So that's what you've just explained, that kind of journey from where we come and then in the matter and then back to the self.
That's right. And there's a reason for it. We may not be aware what it is. But you could say that, you're fully complete when you're the spiritual self, but somehow you become more complete by experiencing this reality of what, in truth, you're not. You're experiencing what you're not. This isn't the spiritual self, but through this experience, you become more of who you really are.
So what is authenticity to you? Because authenticity means being your true self and being authentic to who you are. Is that also then for you a spiritual kind of term?
I haven't thought of it that way, but I think the more you grow in soul awareness, the more you have soul qualities, which are less give to me and more what can I do for others, more empathy, more compassion, more service for others.
Yes, more
Those are soul
service.
qualities. And that's more the authentic you, not the you that you've kind of become trapped in an ego that needs for itself all the time.
Yeah, the significance is the service, eh, to others.
When
Because
so I was going, when you tune, become more in tune with the soul, service becomes just a natural thing. It's not something you do. It's who you are again. You know, it's a quality that you have, and you have no, you just need to express it.
Beautiful, you
I mean,
said.
Mother Teresa, for example, such a perfect example of just service all the time. She did it because it just came from her inner self. That's what she
Yeah, it
needed.
was so natural to her. That was who she was. And tell us who you are. What is your purpose? What is your spiritual, authentic, your self? What are you here to do in service?
It's hard to say, isn't it? Because you might think you know what you're doing, then later on you realize that that wasn't what you were supposed to be doing. But I'd say for me, writing the book and getting it out there was for me my kind of service. It's what I could do best. You know, I've had all this training, all this experience, a bit of my own self, you know, spiritual autobiography. And I just wanted to do this, thought this could be valuable to people. Let's put it down and get it out there. And that's what I did.
So is that a bit of your legacy, this book?
Well, possibly.
Beautiful.
They'll be around a lot longer than I will.
And if you have to take one thing out of the book that somebody's listening and somebody is inspired to, about self-awareness, meditation, maybe somebody who is meditating already like me, what in the book is there one advice, one tip, one insight that you can give us that you want to share with us?
Well, I think the essence of the teachings that I got through Master Charles were basically Kashmir Shaivism, it's called. It's a Hindu philosophy, and that's really what his teachings were based on that. And the more I look at what he said, I'd say that makes so much sense, but that's where it came from. But it would be things like little comments that he would come out, and they're in the book, like, you couldn't be more on schedule if you tried. In other words, you're trying to do all this, you're trying to be that, but basically you're exactly where you're meant to be, where your feet are now. So that was one I think in there. And
Is that a little bit like I'm just trying to grasp it properly and integrate it so that I can share it with the audience? Is that a little bit like being mindful and being in the present?
it is, but it's also accepting
Yes, the
that
acceptance.
things shouldn't be other than they are. We always think things should be different. We need to accept that as it is exactly as it's meant to be. It is as it is. And that's quite hard, you know, particularly when things don't go right. But at the
Yes.
end of the day, everything has its order and its place, and it's exactly as it should be. And the other thing I think that comes out is we all have problems with self-esteem. I don't know anyone that can honestly say, I have no problems, I'm perfectly all right. Because we don't accept who we are. We can just learn to accept that everything's as it's meant to be. And by virtue of our existence, we have every right, to be who we are, and our self-esteem should reflect that. It's exactly as it should be. Yeah. So
I
that.
agree that there's a lot of stress in not accepting and not feeling the worthiness and the authentic person that you are, not accepting that. That brings a lot of stress with us and a lot of anxiety and a lot of physical symptoms. And so it's beautiful that you say that.
We're challenged, aren't we, when something is stressing us because it challenges something about who we are. But I think one advantage of meditation is that you learn to accept who you are, and you become what's called like a witness consciousness. You can observe what's happening to yourself, accept what it is, and the stresses will disappear because you're not trying in some way or other to fight against it.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So, how do you practice this? What is your daily routine around self-awareness and meditation, Charles? Just share it with us so that, if I want to start the practice or something, or can you give us a tip? How do you do it?
Well, it changes. It's never always the same. But one thing that I think is important is that you try to keep to exactly the right time every day. Have the same structure to your meditation. And the reason for that is because your subconscious will know this is the time to meditate, and that will help you to meditate. If you just do it here, there, and everywhere, it's not going to have the same effect. I think the other thing, perhaps, that's important is a lot of people say, I fall asleep when I meditate. Well, that's all right, because if you fall asleep when you meditate, it's actually still considered part of your meditation. Your brain frequencies and so on. And often some of the best experiences that I might have had are when I wake up after a sleep, after a meditation, which shows it's been going on right through the sleep. So it's okay. Fall asleep, probably better to call it meditative sleep or even absence, because you actually go absent a lot in meditation. You may not be aware of it, but when your half hour is up or your hour is up, and you think that was quick, it only seemed to take 10 minutes. It's probably because you were absent for a lot of it, and you go absent and you go present, you go absent, you go present, and your brain kind of picks the one that was most dominant and thinks, oh, I was present all the time, but actually you weren't,
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's one thing. And it's okay to lie down. It's better not to, but if you feel you need to lie down and you are likely to fall asleep, well, that I do that all the time. I call it my afternoon meditation. My wife can hear me snoring sometimes, I now call it a medi nap.
Oh, yes, beautiful.
The fact is, if you can't keep awake, well, that's just the way it is. You're still going to get the benefits from that whole time. That's my experience with it.
And I believe you also put a lot of importance in the dreams. That's also a part of it, isn't it? What dreams you have and how you can interpret them and what they say about you. Is there something you can share with us about that?
Well, there's two layers, shall we say, to dreams. There's the one that usually gets looked at, the psychological one, which is, things have happened to you in the day and they crop up in your dreams and you meet people, and that I call the context of the dream. And quite often you can see that it's something you've been thinking about or whatever, and it's come up in the dream. That's the context. But the other part of the dream, which is the one that I was kind of taught, was based on what's called the mechanics of consciousness. And the book spends some time explaining what's known as the fivefold process. And what that is we go through cycles constantly, short ones, long ones. We might have, when we meditate well, we have a It's called a peak. You're the best you've ever been. You might have illumination, you might not, and it will lead through to processing or clearing. Because when The way it works is if you're taken to peak and you're, let's say, more than you've ever been, something's got to give, shall we say. And what happens is something in your database within your ego will come to the surface for clearing. And this is how the fivefold process works. You're taken to a peak, and then there's clearing, peak, clearing, and it's ongoing. And with that in mind, meditation isn't always great and blissful. You might feel really uncomfortable,
Yes.
have all these thoughts arising. That's actually clearing, and that's a good thing because what's shown in meditation is bringing this up for clearing. We've got a whole lifetime of conditioning, particularly from when we're kids.
Of course.
We've been taught how to be in the world, which is not necessarily your authentic, let's say,
I agree.
animal self. And when you move on the path to self-realization, this has to give way. This has to go. You can't take that kind of worldly awareness with all your neuroses and all that with you. They have to clear, and you have to become a suitable vehicle for the soul to operate through you. And that's the goal, to be a soul realized person in form, basically. Not the ultimate goal, because the soul, in my understanding, is not the ultimate. The soul is a kind of, I hesitate to say, a temporary construct to help the spirit come into form. The ultimate goal is to be spirit in form, but it can't just come in. It has to have an intermediary, which is the soul, to help with that process. In the end, it's the self. You can call soul spirit under one category, but basically you're becoming, I suppose, a divine person in a human body. That's ultimately the goal.
And so if someone is listening here and now and says, what is my first step? So you've told us to meditate at certain times, but if somebody doesn't know meditation, is there an advice that you could say, start to meditate like this? How do you meditate? What is meditation? Is that practicing with your respiration, breathing? Is that focusing on it? Is that just sitting or just lying down and nothing?
Well, if I was
Start
talking
again.
to a complete beginner,
Yes.
I'd say you need to sit down, you need to
Okay.
find the time, you need to sit down, you need to sit with your back straight.
Yes.
Beginning meditators, that is important, but later on it becomes less important because there are energies within you. You've probably heard of prana, but there's the kundalini energy, which is an aspect of that, and that moves up the spine, through the chakras to the crown,
Yes.
and that you're allowing that to flow and do what it needs to do in meditation.
Okay. So you're opening that channel
Yeah, you make it, possible that
Yes.
it can flow. You may not be aware of anything, but sitting upright is what will help.
And do I
So,
have to focus on something or?
you need to focus. I think the most important point in meditation is you need a focus of some sort, because focus helps you to balance,
Yes.
balance the hemispheres of your brain, and it's balance that helps to bring you to peak.
Okay.
You can focus on your breath. You can focus on, you can focus on your third eye if you want. I think in
Yes.
Vipassana meditation, they focus on the root of the nose. Whatever you want to focus on, you can focus on a candle,
Yes.
but focus is important. It brings you to balance, and balance brings you to peak. And meditation really is the foremost balancing technique there is.
Okay. Oh, that's beautifully said. And so if we start, how long would that be to start off? Is that
I think
important?
whatever you're comfortable with, I must have, it may be 10 minutes. Some people find they're fidgeting and all that, but preferably longer. Preferably if you could do half an hour.
Okay.
Well, I always do two lots of 1 hour in a day, but that's because I'm used to it.
Wow.
But whatever you're comfortable with. As if you're doing 10 minutes, it's better than doing
Then
nothing at
nothing.
all.
I
Don't
agree.
wait for weird and wonderful things to happen. They're not meant to happen. If you have an experience, that's great, but don't dwell on it. Basically, you're just sitting there and just trying to be and focus, and that's all you need to aim for.
Wow. Okay. Thank you so much. Now, just about the book, where can people find the book? Because I'll certainly put the website, on there, but where can people, is it Amazon on and Barnes and Nobles? Did I understand that?
Apparently, it's on those Amazon, Barnes and Noble, something called Hive,
Okay.
maybe, which might be American, I don't know.
Okay.
And it says major bookstores.
Okay. From the
Unfortunately, it's not in
28th of
Australia.
July, it is, eh?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not in Australia. So if an Australian wanted to buy it, they would have to go online, get it
Oh,
from
that's
Amazon,
interesting.
and pay for the postage.
So you as
I
an
don't.
Australian can't even buy it in your own
No, because
part of the
I've gone
world.
to a UK publisher. I mean, if the book becomes successful, there
Yes.
is a publisher over here that can
Okay.
kind of take over for down here. But for now, it's the UK and the USA.
So every USA citizen, UK citizen, Europe, wherever, that's fine. So they can do that. Thank you so much, Charles. I just want to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
If you had to advise one of your children, a daughter, a son who is now in mid-30s or something, what would you tell them as being the elderly person with the experience and about going on a spiritual path? What would you, because we're talking here from stress to authentic success, and I see a lot of ones with lots of stress, lots of, what would you advise them? What would you say to them with your experience? How would you motivate them to become more of themselves or to become more of who they really are? What would you say to them?
I think that's very difficult because people don't like to be told
That's
what they
true.
should do. And I certainly would, I might encourage them, say you'd benefit from meditation, but I wouldn't push it on them because when the time is right, I think any person will do it. They may have to experience all of what life has to offer first.
With the
So,
quote that you shared with us earlier, things are as they are and accepting, would that
I'd
be a
use
tip?
those. They might find them funny, but they might even get something out of it. But I think more importantly is who you are.
Yes.
And they will see what it does, what your life is like, and they will take from that. But also, this is mentioned in the book, the more you meditate, the more you actually build a kind of internal power.
Oh, great. Yes.
You have more wakefulness, but you also have more amplitude of power. I'll go to the mechanics of that, that's mentioned in the book. But people can pick up on that. There's something about you, or you seem very calm, and they can
Yes.
pick up on that.
Yes.
And
I totally agree.
I think the example is more important than using the words to say you should do this, you should do that.
Oh.
And no teenager listens anyway, so why bother,
I'm actually very surprised that that is your answer, but I'm so happy you say that because it's actually really, that's how reality goes. We have to experience everything ourselves, and that's when we integrate it the best. When people tell us what to do, it most of the time it doesn't work. So thank you so much for this. Is there a last word, one word, something that you want to say about self-awareness and meditation or something? Is there any last word, last sentence you want to share?
About meditation, not really. I mean, I could say a last thing about the book in that you'll notice there's a chapter called The Way Forward. It's kind of implying that there's more than what I've experienced,
Okay.
obviously. So it's called The Way Forward, and it's giving examples from two people who've gone through the path through to enlightenment, and it's saying this is where it's headed for these people, and this is where it could head for you.
Okay.
This is,
Thank you so
and
much. I
yes.
really appreciate that. So, anyone listening, the way forward, I'm going to have a little break and I'll come back to your audience just now. Thank you so much, Charles.
Okay, thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I did promise you a bit of a deeper conversation on a deeper level, and yes, that's what it was. I really am so pleased to have talked to Charles about what meditation really is, because it does reflect who we really are. I found that so interesting because it is like a return journey back to the self, like an alignment with our soul. Meditation can have so many benefits. And of course, he talked also about self-awareness with the big S. And so it's all about consciousness, isn't it? And I really appreciate how he was saying that our soul is prompting every single one of us, you too, to follow your path. It is beautifully said how he talks about our authentic self, how authenticity to him is all about service, serving others. He mentioned Mother Teresa. But to me, one of the biggest insights of this whole conversation is that we need to be more accepting of who we are, where we are. Things as they are, accept who we are. We can observe it, we can accept it. And then that is one of the main reasons why stress will disappear. Because once you are in acceptance, and there's so much to say about acceptance, I am doing my 7-step program for the moment, my online program, writing it, videoing it. It's going to be amazing. But I talk a lot about acceptance there as well. So accepting our situation, accepting where we are, accepting who we are is a beautiful, beautiful thing to do. And so he was also saying that most of us have problems with self-esteem, and that is why it's so difficult to accept who we are. And when you start your meditation practice, being part of a conscious self-care practice, something that I have been promoting for more than 20 years now. Your conscious self-care practice, your conscious self-love practice, it's all such an important part of living a meaningful and fulfilling life. And so Charles went a little bit deeper into the practice of meditation, telling us a few tips on how to meditate every day at the same time, because that gives a sign into your subconscious mind on it's okay to fall asleep if you meditate, which is quite nice to know. And so even lying down is okay. Just be aware that you are building an internal power. It is that internal calm that gives you that power. And it is so beautiful. I've been practicing meditation for more than about 20 years now. And I can only say that it's really worth your while. And for a beginner, because maybe you out there are listening and saying, yeah, everybody talks about meditation, but I'm not, I haven't started yet. I don't have the time. I don't know how to start. Well, it's all about, as Charles was explaining to us, just sit down, straighten back, and focus. Focus on a candle. Focus on your third eye. Focus on your breathing. Just sit and be and focus, because that is what it's all about. And that is what is going to help your brain to balance. And when we balance our brain, that's what brings us to peak. And, to fulfill our full potential, to be who we want to be in the world, We really need to balance that brain, certainly in a society like today. So I really was thrilled to talk to Charles Atfield about self-awareness with a capital S and meditation. If you want to go back and listen on demand, if you want to share the show, feel free. If you want to buy his book, go to the website or go to Amazon, wherever you are in the world. I'm talking to you. I want to inspire you, motivate you to really go onto that journey of going back to yourself, to your authentic self, to who you really are. Because I know, and I've got goosebumps telling you this, I know that it is truly worth your while, worth your time, worth your focus, worth your attention. It's the best thing you can do because you are your best investment. I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.